Hi everyone, and welcome to Improve Your Voice. As you may or may not know, my name is Darren McStay. And if you're watching this and it's the first time to the channel, I might suggest that you really search for other things on improving your voice before you watch this video, because this video is actually a bit about me, it's a bit about my story. So those of you who are regulars here and subscribers who know who I am, who've been watching the videos for a while, I wanted to bring this video for you because there are some who I think would benefit from knowing my journey and my story into being where I am today and how I ended up becoming an online voice coach and, well, a voice coach, speaker, actor, singer, and all the things that I do that involve the use of my voice and why I believe I have any authority in being able to share my knowledge with you. And so to help people understand not only that everyone has an opportunity to better their situation and improve their voice, but also maybe just as a bit of a get to know you. So I guess I should start back in, I think the best place to start is about 15 years ago. Now, I've been singing and I had my first singing lesson when I was 15. So I've been singing since, you know, for a long time. I'm 43 now. So that's 28 years. And it never necessarily meant that I was any good. And I've been in countless bands, which were, in fact, terrible. My first ever review of my voice, which was when I was 18 in a nightclub in Romford, where I'm from, in Essex, East London, Essex, was the review mentioned me, but only for having such bad mic control that they couldn't hear a word I was singing or shouting. It was absolutely terrible. It was fun to do, but I wasn't necessarily had no control. I was just finding a way to express myself. But there's something key in that, because I really needed to express myself, because I wasn't able to as a speaker. And I was very shy as a child. And this platform of being in a band is something that gave me a means to not feel so insecure about myself. Now, I had red hair, and where I'm from, that was something you could pick on. And so I got fairly bullied for the way I looked, and that made me very insecure. So having the music as an outlet was very important for me. And again, I wasn't necessarily very good. It was just something for me to express myself with. So as I've got older and I've went to college and moved away from school, I started meeting people who are more like-minded. I then ended up working as a tattoo artist, because I started studying art and design and graphic design, but I dropped out of those courses to pursue tattoo art, which is why you see some tattoos on my arms, if you've ever noticed them before. And through that, I realized it wasn't really for me. It was a world that I wasn't really ready to step into. And again, you needed a lot of confidence, and I was a bit insecure about my ability and really what I wanted in life. So it was a period where I was testing. I then moved to this great town in England called Brighton. And in Brighton, I come out of myself a bit more, and I started to feel a lot more at ease. It's a very easygoing town. It's a bit of a party town, and I worked in a cocktail nightclub, and I worked there for a couple of years, and I was working as a bar supervisor and a cellar manager. So I had a bit of responsibility, and I was making new friends, and it's a really cool party town by the sea. And then I started getting into bands again after a few years off, and I definitely got better, and I picked up the guitar to help me, you know, learn and be able to practice on my own. And I started getting a few more lessons again, this time from different singing coaches. And as my time progressed, I got into different bands, and the bands got better, and actually we had a bit of success. One of the bands, which was a comedy redneck bluegrass band called Leonard and Bubba's Delicious Goo Goo Cluster, which was a bit, you know, on the line between funny and, whoa, that's, can you say that? The kind of gigs we were doing shows at festivals and pubs and nightclubs, but we were getting quite successful, and we were earning, you know, a few quid every week, you know, aside from our normal jobs, playing in this band. And so this band then toured, went on the radio, we were on TV slots, we went into, we played at Glastonbury, Bestival, Isle of Wight Festival, loads of different festivals around the UK and a couple of in Ireland. So we done that for the course of, well, it's still kind of together, we never really broke up, we just don't do it anymore. But we were doing that successfully for around 8 years before it tailed off again. But during this time, to help support my love of music and to help support the band, I worked in catering and I ended up working, going from bars into the kitchen. And so I accidentally also became a chef. Now, chefing to me is the epitome of something that's absolutely terrible for your voice. Okay, especially if you're 6 foot like me, because all the stations, all the tables in catering, well, at least I know in the UK, are set at the same height. And so what happens is you're continually bent over all day long. And I used to call it the anti-Pilates, because Pilates is really good at helping, you know, create core strength and work your posture out. But chefing is continually, slowly, with micro movements, kind of creating tension and like bad posture, because you're bent over and all these little micro movements which aren't how your body's designed to move. So, and under a stressful environment, it's not very helpful. So what happened is, at the end of the day, I started to withdraw again. I started going back to how I was as a teenager and feeling a bit awkward speaking, and I couldn't communicate myself. And because of this, I started to drink alcohol. Of course, I was working in a pub at the time, in a pub kitchen, and it was available, and I was up late at nights playing with the bands anyway, and, you know, there was alcohol involved there. So drinking became a way for me to relax myself, because I was in pain a lot of the time. I had trouble with my knees, trouble with my hands. I had a really sore back. And this had an impact on me psychologically, whereas I started to feel so stressed all the time that I drank more. And this made me very anxious. And so because of my posture and the stressful job and the low pay, I was my posture was bad, and I was breathing shallowly. And this was making me feel anxious and insecure. And so I stopped communicating so well with the world. And this, over a period of, I believe, around 7 to 10 years I was working in these environments, my voice completely collapsed. It completely went away. And it wasn't until one day, because my friends have been telling me that I mumbled, but it wasn't until one day when my mother told me that she couldn't understand what I was saying. And this is at the age of, you know, I was in my late 20s, just about to, in the late 20s, around 28 years old, 29. And my mum said, "Darren, I can't understand a word you're saying." And my friends had told me that, but I hadn't believed them. And I realized that this lack of communication had somehow been spiraling because of my stressful work life, the bad posture that I had created for myself, bad breathing habits, and the fact that I had not enjoyed my life at the time. So I was in conflict with myself, and I'd withdrawn myself, and so I wasn't able to communicate. I'd lost the use of the muscles which form sound and articulate words, and I become very, you know, almost depressed with this. Well, I was depressed, but I just didn't see it like that at the time. And it one day came to the point where, after my mum had told me this, I was first aware of it. And then I had a panic attack one day, which was so severe. And it was after a show with the band. I'd been working all week, and then we went away for the weekend to a festival. And we had a good night, had a bit of a party, again, drinking too much. And in the morning, we woke up and we got in the car and we drove off on the way back to Brighton. And I had this tremendous panic attack, and I thought I was going to die. I was trying to get more oxygen, and I ended up breathing and hyperventilating. And what happened was that all of the feeling in my arms went completely numb, and pins and needles happened in my back. And I just thought that was a panic. I didn't know it was a panic attack. I thought it was a heart attack. So I told the driver to pull over and call the paramedics. So we did, and the whole band got out of the car, and it was very nerve-wracking. And I lay down on the ground, looked up at the sky, and I seriously thought, this is it. I'm going to die now. and I honestly 100% believed I was going to die. A woman who was driving past, an old lady, saw me laying on the ground with these people standing around me, and she decided to come over and comfort me. And she was holding my hand and being very, very comforting. And it was really lovely that someone, a complete stranger, would do that. And as we were waiting for the paramedic, the time went on and the paramedic got out of the car about half an hour later, and I started to feel a bit better. So once I'd said to myself, right, this is it, I'm going to die, and I accepted my fate. That's when I started to feel better. So the paramedic got up, walked over and asked me how old I was, and I said, 28. And he said, you idiot, you've had a panic attack. And I'd never heard of what that was before, and knowing that was a really key step, and that, and also being told by my mother that she couldn't understand what I was saying. But these two things played such an important role on what was to become who I am now, because I went to the doctors and told them that I was having these panic attacks and it was caused by stress, probably from work and maybe over drinking, not sleeping enough, and, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And he gave me what was called diazepam, which is a drug to, you know, calm you down and keep you, you know, somehow sedated. And I was very reluctant to take these because I had some, you know, experience with my mother's depression in the past, and I never wanted to go on to taking drugs to solve my issues. But now I knew there was one, I knew this was an option. And so I took one on the first day, reluctantly, and I kind of felt fine. I felt okay that day. And the very next day, the very second day after this realization and this, you know, knowing that I had to change something in my life, a friend of mine invited me to go to an acting class. Now, acting is something I'd stayed away from because when I was in my first senior school, when I was 11 years old, I was in a drama class and I'd said something which apparently the other children found funny, and they mocked me and they kind of made me feel really stupid and small, and I'd never, ever, ever enjoyed being around actors. I'd never enjoyed acting classes. I'd never done it through the rest of my senior school after that. So I'd been put off from acting for so long, but I always knew that, you know, because I had some stage experience and I love to express myself, that it would be something worth trying. So I went along and I thought, why not? You know, I need to do new things in my life. So I went to this class, and the very first thing we did in that class was voice work. And we did breathing exercises, and we did some stretches, and we did some swinging, and we did some, you know, these movements with our body. And so I got to move my body in new ways I'd never done before. And I learned to breathe in ways I'd never learned before. And the whole class, you know, went by as a bit of a dream because I was just feeling great. And it wasn't because of the pills, because I only took one the day before and I wasn't going to continue taking them. At the end of this class, I felt so elated, so calm, so relaxed and present that I decided I'm never going to take those pills ever. And I threw them in the bin. And then the next week, I went back to the acting class again. And then I went back the next week and the week after. And then, realizing that, you know, I wasn't communicating so well and there was ways of learning, I decided to go and take speech and articulation lessons with a woman just outside of Brighton. And she gave me lessons for 30 minutes every week. I think I went twice a week for some time. And it wasn't cheap. It was quite expensive even at the time for me, especially. But I knew I had to do something and I knew I had to change my situation. So I continued with the acting and I continued taking speech and articulation lessons. And I was done those for approximately between 6 months to a year. And at the same time, I also got cast in my first play through the acting classes. And that was a huge success for me. And it opened up some doors and it opened up ways in which I could express myself in a new way, and it And it helped me to appreciate what the voice is and how important communication really is and how you do it, not just with your voice, but with your body and your entire being is an expression of your vitality. And I was starting to feel better about myself. I was drinking less. I was less stressed at work. I was communicating better with my colleagues, which made everything easier at work anyway. So my communication skills had caused a lot of the stress in the first place. But then I started doing yoga and I started doing Pilates and I said, right, I'm feeling better. My posture's getting better. My body's not aching so much anymore. I'm less stressed. I'm able to communicate better with the world. I'm breathing well. I'm in a play. I'm meeting new people. I'm feeling great. I'm going to go to drama school. And so I decided then and there, right, I'm going to apply for drama school. And if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to work in an environment where I don't get paid very much, I'd rather do it on stage or on screen than in a kitchen, in a hot, sweaty kitchen where there's not really much money to be made anyway. And it, again, it was always to subsidize my music. And I thought, well, cooking's not really helping me with my music, but acting really would. That would really help me with my stage presence and learning more about my, you know, the craft. And so I applied for drama schools, the top ones in London, and unfortunately, the first year I didn't get accepted into anywhere. So I continued on. I'd done more plays and I'd learned more. And I did a test for my speech and articulation in grade 7, I believe it was. And I got a distinction. So I'd grown so much and I'd put so much work into it, and my heart into it. And I knew this was a part of me that had to change. And so this little certificate and this little, you know, medal that I got for it was so important to me. And so I stayed with it and I continued acting, and I went back the next year and I got offered a place at a very prestigious acting conservatoire named East 15. And so I decided to do the master's degree there in TV, film and radio. Now, I stayed there for the first term, and after the first term realised that I'd taken the wrong course, so I had to wait, drop back another year and go back to work and continue with what I was doing before I could go back the next year to study the course I should have done, which was just in acting. But on the first term of the TV, film and radio, I did radio and some TV. Now, the radio itself taught me more about articulation. It taught me about characters. It taught me Laban. It taught me some of the best voice techniques I've ever known, and I had one of the greatest voice coaches there is still out there today, and his name was Robert Price, and he'd been taught by some of the great voice coaches of his time, and to have worked with him for, you know, 4 months or whatever it was a privilege and an eye-opener, and it really gave me the confidence to start sharing what I had already learned on my journey so far with other people. So I started doing little workshops and I started helping actors and other people who wanted to improve their voice and articulation. But essentially, you know, articulation is one thing and speech is, you know, is incorporated into that. But the voice is your whole body. It's holistic. So everything you do to improve your body as a whole and to make it more relaxed, resonant and present is helping you share your story and communicate with the world. And I just really seem to understand this and understand how to explain these principles to other people. And I decided as I went back the next year for the acting course that I was going to keep that in mind as I was, you know, training on my master's degree. So I did the full year master's degree intensive course in which we had voice work, movement, articulation, voiceover, acting, and all the things that are incorporated into that. It's quite complex, but also very holistic and very worthwhile for life skills. Now, when I graduated in 2011, which was, you know, 9 years ago now, I'd already been doing workshops and helping people with their voice. And then I got more into voiceover work. And then I started helping create voice reels for actors. I started doing more workshops with people. And I continued to work with people on their voice reels, mainly actors, for a few years, a number of years. until I got a part in a show called War Horse, in which I became a puppeteer. And I did that for a year and a half. And actually, the version of War Horse that I was in actually was filmed for the National Theatre and was aired worldwide live, one of the first 4K live recordings that I think was ever made for the theatre. And so I was in that production. I wasn't actually a puppeteer in that show, but I did some singing and some acting in it. And if it comes round again to the cinemas, which I believe it will next year, you can see me in that, so check it out. Anyway, my point is that within a period of 8 years, I'd gone from someone who was completely insecure, having panic attacks, on the verge of depression, drinking far too much. I had not sleeping enough. I couldn't communicate with my colleagues, my friends, even my family well enough. And 8 years later, I'm in a top West End performance. And I even got to perform for the Queen as a puppeteer in one of the horses, in which I have to make the sounds of a horse with my mouth. So the voice coaching and the movement courses are all coming very useful for that, although I didn't need to articulate words. My point is that I grew so much by staying consistent. I grew so much just by staying with it. And in 2015, I moved with my girlfriend at the time to Finland, her home country, because she got offered a job. Now, I'd met my now wife at drama school. She was in the same master's degree as me, but the year after, and I met her at her audition. So not only has this journey of improving myself and improving my voice helped me get better training, get into a better line of work, and be able to help many other people, it also helped me find my true love, my wife, and who we now have a son, and there may even be a second one on the way, we'll see. But my life turned around, and that's when I decided to put together the online courses which I created, which highlight some of the best things that I've learned in my life, some techniques from singing tutors, from voice tutors, from Tai Chi, from Pilates, from yoga, from Feldenkrais technique, from Alexander technique, from gyrotonics, from Qigong, and from all these different elements that have helped me to improve my voice into these courses, because I know they work. And I've seen them work with other people, and I've worked with them on other people, and including myself. And then I created this channel, Improve Your Voice, in order to just reach and help as many people as I can. And now we're almost at 50,000. We just hit 49,000 a couple of days ago. And it's going really well. And I thought this was the opportunity now, because 2020, to just share my story. And I'm sure there's more in it than that. There's a lot more. I could go back to my childhood, but it's already, nearly 25 minutes long. And I guess I'm going to leave it there, but I wanted to just share my journey with you because I was hoping it would inspire some people who feel down about their situation. I was hoping it would motivate those who don't believe they have opportunities to change or believe that the voice is something that's happening to them. The voice isn't happening to you. It's not an outside source. It is you. It is your body, your mind, your emotions. That all creates your voice. And there are ways to not hack it, but to change it, to improve it, no matter what situation you're in. Even if you have issues that are hindering you from being able to communicate clearly, there's other ways around. There's always a way. And if I can help people with what I know here on this channel, then then I've done my job, and it's working. And I can't wait until the quarantines and this COVID period is over, so I can go out there and start speaking again and meeting more people and doing more live workshops. But for now, you're stuck with me online, I'm afraid. So thank you so much for being with me. Thank you for subscribing, and thanks for watching. I am Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, look after your voice.